Season 2 of Freelance to Founder is brought to you by AndCo. At AndCo, they pair you with a real-life human being and a cutting-edge app to help you start, manage, and scale your freelance business. To learn more and try AndCo free today, visit and.co. That's and.co. Season 2 is also supported by Audioblocks. We use Audioblocks to find unique, quality music for the stories we tell on Freelance to Founder. And now you can get access to their library of over 130,000 sound clips for just $99 per year by visiting audioblocks.com/founders. That's audioblocks.com/founders with an S. Now enjoy this episode of Freelance to Founder, brought to you by Millo.
I had been sitting kind of on this idea for many years, and when I first came up with these first few tricks, I was working at Yahoo at the time, and I'd written them in a notebook, and then forgot about it and came across it again 7 years later, and I was working in Google, and really wanted to finish it and thought it was funny, but was really scared that people were going to think that I was making fun of them, particularly my coworkers.
For Millo, I'm Brandon Hull, and this is Freelance to Founder. If you've lived even a week in the corporate world, you've witnessed numerous tricks people employ to appear smart in meetings. Witnessed being the key phrase there, surely you've never used them, right? Well, Sarah Cooper wrote a full book on the subject. The hilarious 100 Tricks to Appear Smart in Meetings hit the bookstores in October 2016. A full year later, in the crowded category of business and professional books, it still sits as the number 56 bestseller at Amazon.com. She's got a 4.6 rating at Amazon and has consistently received great press on the book. I had a chance to catch up with Sarah to learn more about how a simple list of 10 observations on the subject took on a life of its own. It's moved her from full-time designer and freelance writer to full-time author and speaker. She currently writes and produces videos at her own site, thecooperreview.com, and they're every bit as good as the book. Here's an example.
First, I want to say how excited I am to be here. Super thrilled about the opportunities. I am pumped. I am stoked. I am so super stoked. What we're doing here at this company is groundbreaking, game-changing, life-changing, world-changing, change-changing, changing the nature of change. Everything we do, we are going to be doing at massive scale. Leadership at scale, engineering at scale, product at scale, design at scale, scale at scale. Let me ask you guys, what would you do if you could do anything? Okay, we can't do that. Think bigger, think smaller, think somewhere between those two things. What is our North Star? What's the net? What is the right product market fit aspect ratio thingy? You're the expert. I'm gonna trust you to make all the decisions on this, except this one. I'm gonna just take a crack at this one. Well, I've accepted another position at another company, and I couldn't be more excited or more thrilled. Uncharted waters for me, and I feel fortunate, feel ready to be moving on to those new challenges.
Well, that's the audio from one of Sarah's recent video posts at The Cooper Review titled, How to Be a Leader at Work. Excerpts from Sarah's book have taken the internet by storm. The book itself, though, only came about because of that initial list of 10 observations she scribbled down on a piece of paper years ago. It was only when she dusted it off to post it at Medium.com that the floodgates opened, within hours. But before any of that happened, Sarah was an interface designer during the day, but a wannabe actor and comedian at night.
My parents kind of discouraged me from my true love, which was theater and performing. Because they wanted me to get something that was a little bit more practical and that could possibly make me a little bit more money than being an actress. And so I found digital design through that. And it was something that I really did enjoy and still love. I just, you know, being in Photoshop just felt like, you know, that not even, it didn't even feel like work to me. And so I got a graduate degree at Georgia Tech in digital design. And went on to work at an interactive ad agency But I kind of never forgot that sort of dream of being an actress, and was always sort of doing things on the side, whether it was, auditioning for plays or doing, commercials or things like that.
The acting bug stuck with Sarah. She continued after the craft at night, even when she moved into her job at Yahoo. There was just one problem. And you've got to listen, because most freelancers never encounter this. Or at least they don't admit they've encountered it.
I, ended up at Yahoo, and I kind of got to a point after a few years at Yahoo where I thought I'd gotten as far as I kind of wanted to go with the design career, and really wanted to pursue acting again. And so when I left Yahoo, I decided to really take the acting seriously and really go for it and do freelance design on the side, which kind of helped support me. But unfortunately, I was not as good at acting as I wanted to be. In fact, I was pretty bad at it. And I kind of noticed that, sort of the things that made me a good designer, which is, being able to create something that is very predictable, that people can, look at and know exactly what it's going to do, don't really work for acting. Because in acting, you want to be unpredictable. You want to be surprising. You want to do things that people aren't expecting. And that's really, really hard to do, after 10, 11, 12 takes. It's so interesting to me, and the thing that I respect so much about great acting and even great stand-up comedy is that, the same joke or the same line can be given so many times, but it always feels like the first time, which is a really hard skill to get.
Wow, and it sounds all so rosy, huh? Sure, she gave up her dream of becoming a full-time comedian, let alone an actor, but it is Google, and she loved it. She met her husband there. But she continued to do comedy on the side and would even invite coworkers to see her shows. A freelancing comedian, but aren't most of them. That's when she stumbled across her notebook with her 10 tricks to appear smart in meetings. She thought, why not post it?
And so I pretty much tried everything. I was, doing acting classes and improv and sketch and singing and, all kinds of classes, but the one thing I hadn't tried is stand-up comedy, and I thought that maybe if I could, get on a stage and be myself in front of a group of people, in my own words, that maybe it would help me be more myself and more, interesting as an actor. And what I found was that I really liked being myself more than I liked being someone else. And so the stand-up comedy sort of made me realize that I enjoyed making people laugh. I enjoyed writing. I enjoyed, performing sort of in a more, individual way, kind of like, just kind of up there on stage, kind of telling my stories. And so that's kind of what made me find comedy, and, also what made me go broke, because you do not get paid to do stand-up comedy when you are just getting started. Yeah, I know it's crazy. In fact, you are often paying people to let you perform on their stage. After 3 years of kind of doing that and finding that I couldn't really make a living doing that, mom and dad were right. I got in touch with an old colleague from Georgia Tech who was working at Google and recommended me for a position there. And I just, was kind of a desperate move, because I really had no other choice. I really needed to get a job. And lucky for me, my fallback career was Google. For me, it was kind of, getting that call that I got the job was kind of bittersweet, because on the one hand, I was, it was great for me that I was going to be able to pay rent and things like that. But I also felt like I was yet again giving up on a dream that I'd had. It's true what they say about Google. It's one of the best places to work. And I felt comfortable there. I was, I was scared that I wouldn't be able to, get up every morning and go to a job again after 3 years of not doing that. But it was, I just totally felt comfortable there from the day that I started. The team felt like a family to me. And I met my husband there, a second home. And I continued to do comedy on the side, and I would invite my coworkers to come to my shows, and I would, you know, write jokes about them, and it was great. And so that's kind of what, you know, what was going on at the time. And so, you know, when this notebook came across my desk again, and I saw, you know, these tricks to appear smart, I just decided to give it a shot and publish it, even though I didn't really have a website or a blog at the time, and I wasn't writing for a blog at the time. I was mostly just writing stand-up comedy for my performances. So that's kind of what led to it. And that's kind of the whole backstory behind 10 Tricks to Appear Smart Meetings, is I'll go into a meeting and I'll do exactly what will make me look like I know what I'm talking about. And so it's kind of an interesting combination of the performance and the corporate and the perfection. And I think that's kind of why it clicked really for me, and why I was able to find an audience with it, is because it really combines all three of those aspects of myself.
So Sarah posts her article at Medium.com, a unique online publication that just about anyone can contribute to. And it took off immediately. Just how much so, we'll get to that right after the break.
Season 2 of Freelance to Founder is brought to you by AndCo. At AndCo, they pair you with a real-life human being and a cutting-edge app to help you start, manage, and scale your freelance business. With AndCo, you can create contracts, send invoices, track time, manage your expenses, and get paid online quickly and simply just by connecting your bank account. The best part of AndCo is getting paired with a chief operator, a real human being who's there to help whenever you have questions about your freelance business. To learn more and try AndCo free today, visit and.co. That's and.co. Season 2 is also sponsored by Audioblocks. We use Audioblocks to find unique, quality music for the stories we tell on Freelance to Founder. And now you can get access to their library of over 130,000 sound clips for just $99 per year. Plus, they'll throw in access to their very popular stock video site, Videoblocks, absolutely free. It's all part of their creator-to-creator offer, going on right now for a limited time. To grab this offer before it's gone, visit audioblocks.com/founders. That's audioblocks.com/founders with an S. Now, enjoy the rest of this episode of Freelance to Founder.
I'm so excited about this meeting. I'm happy to help. Don't hesitate to contact me at any time. Why don't you forward it to me and I will take a look at it? Oh, I think it went to my spam folder. I wrote back to you, but then I forgot to hit send. I completely agree with you. I appreciate the feedback. That meeting was really productive. You know, it feels like we're really changing the world. You know, I'm gonna wrap that up probably this afternoon. Oh, it's like 90% done. I'm gonna wrap that up later this evening, you know, when everyone's gone. I'm actually gonna take it home and do it tonight. That's a really good idea. I appreciate all your suggestions on my performance. This company is like my family. I want to hear all about your weekend. I want to hear about your vacation. I want to hear about your doctor's appointment. You know, I want to hear more about your kids. I am so excited about this retreat. I mean, 5 days in the woods with my coworkers. It's exactly what I need. This was fun.
That was another excerpt from one of Sarah's videos, the equally funny Lies We Tell Ourselves at Work. There's a heavy dose of sarcasm in everything Sarah does. But it's not over the top. I noticed this and pointed it out to her. There's a lesson in here on developing your audience too, if you think just a little bit about it.
I didn't notice that about my own work until somebody pointed it out. I think it might have been my publisher or someone who I had been talking to noticed that nothing I did was ever mean or didn't really put people down. And I never noticed that before, but I think, you know, that goes back a little bit to my my design background and just trying to figure out how what I'm writing is going to affect someone. And if I write something that I think I'm, you know, making fun of someone that doesn't really deserve to be made fun of, or I'm being angry, and, you know, the feeling that people are going to get from this is they're going to be angry as well. That isn't the emotion that I want to elicit. And so I think I didn't notice that was true about my work until somebody mentioned it. But now that after they mentioned it, I was like, yeah, that is true. I think that's also why corporate humor is so difficult. And even writing the book and trying to come up with other books that were similar titles, you know, people trying to create corporate humor, you definitely sense the anger and the frustration and the cynicism in it, and sometimes the hopelessness. Sometimes I do get people saying, you know, this is, you know, this made me laugh, but it also made me cry, you know, things like that.
Do you write much? Sean McCabe from episode 1 encourages everyone to write a little bit every day. No focus on a certain number of words, just get your thoughts down in writing. But it doesn't pay much oftentimes. What if you were Sarah? What if you had written a post that went viral, giving you not only extreme attention, but a potential book deal? What would you have done? Would you still have dabbled while keeping your day job? Would you have left even sooner than Sarah did? Maybe you could benefit by listening to what Sarah says about how to go about making that decision.
Well, when I was getting a lot of good feedback on the post, and it was getting shared, and you know, I think it had like a million views within a few weeks, and you know, that's when it really hit me, like, oh, there's something here that I can write about that people really seem to like, and I know very well because I am in this corporate world. And so that's when I just decided to start thecooperreview.com, which would be my sort of own outlet for writing all of these different posts on topics like email and meetings and how to nod in meetings and just all the kind of random things that I wanted to write about. I didn't know that it would lead to me leaving my job, but I think after, you know, several months of doing that on the side, I started to realize that my passion for writing was outweighing my passion for what I was doing at work. And being a manager and being a lead for a team means that you have to not only be passionate about what you're doing, but you have to motivate a lot of other people to be excited about what they're doing as well. And I started to feel kind of like a fraud because I was, you know, going to work and kind of going through the motions, but what I really wanted to be doing was focusing on writing. And so 6 months after the post came out, I decided finally to leave Google. But the decision was extremely hard, and, you know, everybody thought I was crazy, and, you know, why, you know, if you can't be happy at Google, you know, there's no chance that you'll ever be happy doing anything. But I just realized that the risk of staying and not trying, was a bigger risk to me than not, giving it a shot, and not doing something that I was really excited about, even though I didn't really know what I was going to be doing. I didn't have a book deal at the time. You know, I had a website that I just started. I didn't know how I was going to be making money. I really had no idea, but, I knew that if I wanted to go back to Google, I probably would be able to if I really, you know, if it really didn't work out. So when I left, it wasn't like, you know, I'm done, I don't need this job anymore. It was more like, well, let me give this a try and maybe I'll be back, but maybe I won't. You know, it was definitely more, you know, there was more trepidation in it than just like, oh, I'm done with Google. I really did think that maybe within a year I'd be back at Google. Well, I'm trying to stay true to the spirit of why I left my job, which was to pursue things that I was really, really excited about. And a lot of times you have to balance what you can get paid for with, you know, what you're really excited about. And so the book was a great thing because that kind of like, oh, I could, you know, this is something I'm excited about and I want to do and I'm getting paid for. So that's great. And, you know, luckily for me, I have an amazing literary agent who already sold my next book. And so I'm working on the next book which is going to be another parody, a sort of a parody of all the business books that tell you that there's a silver bullet magic trick to success, that you, if you just follow these three things, that you will, you know, be as rich as, you know, Steve Jobs or whatever. And so I'm excited about that. But I'm also getting more excited about, you know, storytelling and sort of taking some of these characteristics that I put into posts and sort of turning them into characters, and sort of, you know, being a bit more narrative with what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm pursuing while I'm also writing the book. And then I'm also starting to bring on writers for the Cooper Review. So I'm starting to expand it into something where other people will be contributing to it as well. And, you know, that's kind of the ultimate goal, I think, for me, is to create something that does have a life of its own and can keep going and keep, you know, bringing in new people and you know, giving, you know, laughing fits to people at work who really, really need the relief. You know, even beyond when I might not want to write about corporate humor anymore, but, you know, still want to keep this going. Because I think a lot of the things that, you know, I wrote about were directly related to my life in the corporate world. But as I'm not really in the corporate world anymore, I find that there's a lot of other things I'd like to write about as well. And I don't want to ignore that, because, I mean, that's another thing that I think is really awesome about storytelling and stand-up comedy, is that, you know, your material evolves as you evolve. The way that, you know you have a career that you never have to give up, is that it changes as you change and it grows as you grow. And so that's the ultimate goal, is to do something that is sustainable, that will grow with me and change with me as I do.
Hey, Sarah, any final words of wisdom or advice for our Freelance to Founder listeners who are writers?
I would say try to observe yourself and watch what you think about and the thoughts that you gravitate towards when you're supposed to be doing something else. You know, because when I was supposed to be paying attention in meetings, I was, you know, making these little notes. And I was making these observations, and I didn't pay attention to that. I thought, oh, I wanted to be an actress when I was little, so I better go try to be an actress now. And I kind of forced that. And it really took me sort of a roundabout way to, like, go back to that notebook that I wrote 9 years ago, where that's kind of what I was sort of thinking about when I was supposed to be doing something else. And that's the thing about anything that's creative. It has to be something that you just sort of naturally do and don't really have to force yourself to do. You know, it takes a little bit of effort to, like, you know, make sure to create something, but it has to be a topic, or it has to be an outlet that just, you know, you gravitate towards naturally. And those things won't feel like work, and they won't feel like you're forcing something, and you won't feel like you're, okay, it's Saturday morning now, I gotta be creative, I gotta go do the thing that's supposed to, you know, make me, you know, explore this creative outlet. You know, it shouldn't be like that. You know, any kind of downtime you have at work, any kind of, like, you know, sort of daydreaming, any kind of notes you're making in the margins, what are those things that you're doing? You know, notice those things and see if there's something there that you're just sort of doing without realizing it, and kind of follow that, because I think that is kind of where your heart is and where your outlet could be.
And that is Sarah Cooper, author of 100 Tricks to Appear Smart in Meetings and the Cooper Review blog. What a great guest. Next up, our 8th and final episode of Season 2 of Freelance to Founder. I'm joined by Fizzle founders Chase Reeves and Corbett Barr.
Smarter, more entrepreneurial people would probably say, why are you doing that? But again, the devil shows up and is like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Because I think the other insight there for me is, I really trust that part of me.
You do not want to miss that episode. And listeners, remember, you can subscribe to our show through your favorite podcast listening app and by visiting us at freelancetofounder.com. Season 3 will be an exciting one as well. If you're enjoying our podcast, I hope you'll head over to iTunes and leave a review. Ratings and reviews are the way other freelancers find the show on iTunes, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Feel free to shoot me an email anytime as well at brandon@millo.co. Thanks for listening. For Millo, I'm Brandon Hull. Join us next time.